Now, I felt that it was appropriate, as it was the end of the year, for us to look at Philippians chapter 3 and really to focus on verses 12, particularly verse 13. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Just 1 minute, please. So we see that Paul has not yet arrived. It's interesting to note that he is, at this stage, Paul the aged. And we say that because we know that this letter was written when he was in prison in Rome, and we know that death was at the door because he was caught between the two, not knowing whether he should remain in this world or whether he should be taken home to glory. We see this in verse 22 and 20 down to 24. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he was at that point in his life where death was before him. And of course, in one sense, that's always before us. But in a particular way, it was for him because he was coming now towards the end of his life. And so he had to contemplate the future. And he does not consider that he has achieved all he ought to have done. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may but apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And Mr. Airy, who you remember we did follow towards the end of Philippians, he interpreted this verse as follows. It is then as if the apostle should have said, I thank my God, I know Christ and the virtue of his resurrection, etc., and take great comfort and pleasure in the knowledge of Christ. And I think all things but loss for this excellent knowledge sake, not as though I had now attained unto this knowledge perfectly, or were now as I am now, Paul the aged, and taught by God in the ways of God, perfect in the knowledge of Christ. Nay, I now know him only in part, but I follow this knowledge even with eager and incessant pursuit, desiring that I may comprehend and catch hold of the knowledge of Christ Jesus even as perfectly and in like mercy that he hath comprehended and caught hold of me. So he is conceding, or which is a wonderful thing, that he had been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. And that is for everyone. That is our situation. We have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. It is not as though we are trying to take hold of Christ, reaching our hand up, as it were, hoping to grasp his hand ourselves. No, he has taken hold of us. And that is key, isn't it? Because otherwise, we would always be wondering whether we had actually found the Lord Jesus or not, if it depended on us, as many believe. Many believe that it is that Christ is someone that we choose. We make the decision, but in fact, that decision is made for us. And we would go to John 15 verse 16 is an obvious place for us to turn to, where we read, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so he has chosen us, but he also works in us and through us. And we see that in verses 12 and 13 of the previous chapter, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, just one moment, I may not put my, just one second, I'm not sure I put my video on. If I didn't, I'm just going to rectify that. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't put my video on. For it is God, I'm sorry, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So those desires that we have to be more godly come from the Lord Jesus himself. It is because he has taken hold of us. But Paul never thought that he had achieved what Christ Jesus had laid on him for. And that is the case of every believer. We are in a state of transition. There are those who believe that we have already achieved, but that is not what Paul thought. There are those who would use parts of this chapter to argue that Paul never sinned. He was always perfect. But he says here in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So he's not suggesting that he is already perfect. And we know that that must be the case. If you look at 1 John chapter 1, I think it seals it, because John is writing to believers. He speaks of his children, the first epistle of John. In verse chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you. He's writing to his children in the faith. He's not writing to the world. And he is saying that to his children, if we say we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the idea that we are in a state of perfection is wrong. It's disproved by the verse I've just read you in John, and it's disproved by Paul's experience. He doesn't think that he's reached perfection in knowledge or in practice. The Lord Jesus was himself given the Spirit without measure, but we were not given the Spirit without measure. In Romans 12, verse 3, we read this, with Paul writing, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith he has made to it. So everybody has been dealt with by God according to the measure of faith. God has given his Holy Spirit to us in a measure, whereas he gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ without measure. Why? Because we are sinful. The Lord Jesus was not sinful. We can certainly seek to have a greater measure of the Holy Spirit, to have a greater measure of faith. But without that, we will only ever increase up to a certain level, but we will never in this life get to perfection. There are those who have believed that they were perfect, and one can read of that these accounts. There's a by some of the men of old, but if you think about it, really, the more we grow in Christ, the more we realize that we are sinners. If you remember the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, it's quite instructive because the Pharisee thought he was perfect. And this, you'll recall this account, I'm sure, very well. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So you see that the Pharisee thought that he had it all, that he was perfect, that there was nothing that he needed to change. But the publican smote his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And which one went away justified? Which had a truer apprehension of his state? But it was the publican. It wasn't the Pharisee. And if you think about David, and after he had committed the sin with Bathsheba and Bathsheba's husband, sending him to an early death, for 9 months until the birth of that baby, he didn't think he'd done anything wrong. But his sin had been hidden from him. It was only when Nathan went to him, then he realized what a sinner he had been. And those who think themselves perfect, really, the problem is that their sin was hidden from them. And we must pray that the Lord would reveal to us those secret sins that we are perhaps even ignorant about, to remove any complacency that we might have of the righteousness of our position. So we can be encouraged, though, because although we are always, we become ever more aware of our sin, we know that He, the Lord, will take us on. He's not going to leave us where we were. And we have that marvelous promise in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul wrote, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So having loved us first, as Mr. Airy wrote, he will love us to the end. And this is also something that the Lord Jesus, well, it was said of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Having loved them first, he loved them to the end. And that is a wonderful truth for us too. Having loved us first, he will love us to the end. And so, friends, we don't grow weary of well-doing. And there's also a reference to Psalm 77, verses 6 to 9. You can just turn there. "I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast us off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Have he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also all thy work and talk of all thy doings." So the Lord will not forget his people. And so what did Paul do? Having he's attaining to perfection, and he is growing up in the knowledge of Christ. So he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And the Christian is one who follows after. Do you remember Azahel? He followed after. He followed after Absalom. And he turned neither to the left nor to the right. Very sadly, it ended up, his life was ended as a result. But he followed hard after Absalom. And that is the sense in which we are to follow hard after Christ. It's how Paul followed hard after him, to grow up in the knowledge of Christ. There is a call to perfection. You have it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let me just quote that correctly. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. We're to be perfect. And so we have also in James chapter 1, verse 4. But let him ask, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, I won't mention the other references, but they are Ephesians 4, verses 15 to 16, and Colossians 1, verse 10, if you want to have a look at them later, just aware of the time. And so, not only did he realized that he had not attained, but he followed after that he might take hold of that for which he had been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. We have been taken hold of for a purpose. And we saw that in that familiar verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why have we been chosen? By the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be holy and without blame before him in love. We've been chosen to be holy. And so Paul followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Well, that's repeating really what I've said already. He's not yet achieved perfection. We see through a glass darkly, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. We will always see through a glass darkly until that day that we see Christ face to face. There is definitely an element of perfection that's been given to us in the Word of God. We have the perfect Word of God with us. It's full and complete. The canon of Scripture is complete. But nevertheless, our understanding of it will not be complete until we meet the Lord Jesus and we are transformed at the end of our lives. And so, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He one thing he does, he forgets what those things which are behind. And friends, as we leave 2023, we must forget those things which are behind, those things which might have been disappointments to us, even, I suppose, things which have gone well for us. Because what we mustn't do is look to the past when we should be looking to the future. It's a great sadness that the world, because they have no hope for the future, are always dwelling in the past and things that they've done earlier on in our lives. Well, while we're grateful for all that God has done for us, we forget the things that were behind because we are on a journey. We're on a journey to heaven. And therefore, we're not going to dwell on the things that belong to this earth because we are seeking always to have higher ground. In a race, they told us at school, something strangely, when one looks at the Olympics, people did look behind them, particularly in the long races, to see where their opponents were. But we were taught not to look behind us, because if you look behind, it will slow you up. And so the one thing he does is not to look behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that's as we go into 2023, that's what we're to do. Forgetting the things of yesterday, we strain towards the things which are tomorrow, which are before us. And what a blessing that we have things before us. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're pressing forward to the finishing line for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that race metaphor is also taken up by Paul. I assume Paul wrote Hebrews. It's my belief. And so those familiar words, we actually mentioned them this morning. I said I'd come back to them. Wherefore, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another way of saying not looking behind us, isn't it? To let go of, to lay aside every weight and the sin, those besetting sins. Someone wrote, the awful thing, the truth is that the more we go on in the Christian life, the more sinful we realize we are. And the harder we find, the more we find that they are the same besetting sins that come back and keep trying to take hold of us again. And we mustn't be surprised if that happens. But we are to let go of them. Let go of those things which of our besetting sins, and also those things which hold us back, every weight. What are those things that weigh down upon us? Every weight. We know those weights that can stop us coming to church, stop us seeking the Lord, stop us being effective. We're to let go of those weights. The Lord Jesus was clear, wasn't he, in Matthew chapter 6? Because really, weights are worries. We can't be effective if we're consumed with worry. And he says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries. We are not to worry. We're to cast our burdens on the Lord because he cares for us. We're to be careful for nothing. That's in the book that we're considering in Philippians 4, verse 6, being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So may the Lord help us to run with in perseverance, the race that is set before us. Let us ask the Lord for help, not to look back, but to strain towards the prize of our high calling in Christ Jesus this year, as we, this next year, which we are about to enter into. So we've given thanks for the things of 2022. We may continue to do so, but we're not going to be bound by them. We're not going to be held back by them. We are pressing forward. We are running that race. We're pressing towards the finishing line, the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord grant us grace to help in our great endeavor. Amen. Mm-hmm.